So we were very privileged to represent the church in the mission trip that we just come back Tuesday a week ago, and we just wanted to share some of our experiences with you and hopefully get a bit of a glimpse of what we went through, and hopefully you're inspired to talk. We won't have all the pictures that we did and won't have everything, all those experiences, but hopefully it wets your whistle to find out some more. Invite us to a home group or ask questions, that would be great. So Zimbabwe is in South Africa, as you can see there. It's a landlocked country. It doesn't actually hit the ocean at all. It's reasonably small, 16 million people. So you can see Harare at the top right there is the capital. Just below the Zimbabwe thing is on the left is Bulawayo, where we flew into. And just below, straight below that, there's Gweru and then Djavane, and that's where we spent most of our time. It's a rural-based country. So it has 16 million people, 1.5 million in the capital in Harare, about 500,000 or so in Bulawayo, and that means you've got 11 million spread all around the rest of the country in rural-type settings. There's some cities where Djavane, where we went, was about 35,000, but a lot of people live out in the country. In terms of size, roughly, if you go from Bundaberg to Coffs Harbour out to Roma, that's the sort of size of the country. Now, that'd only be a few hours' drive in Australia, but the way the roads are, it takes a bit longer than that to drive around the place. So Bill and Karen and I left from Brisbane. We flew into Perth, picked up Chris Pagent, who's head of KiwiLink. He's been 32 times to Zimbabwe. Bill's been 4, Carolyn 5, and this was my first trip. So we picked him up there, flew into Johannesburg, got a bus out to this little plane, and then in Zimbabwe itself, we picked up Jackie, who is a New Zealander living in Zimbabwe, and we're able to have the five of us be a team over there. We stayed with the guy who's the boss is BJ. BJ was a high school principal, a number of other things, a real key leader within Churches of Christ in Zimbabwe. Stayed with his wife Chippo and their niece Chippo, Chippo Jr., and they cooked for us. So I'm almost embarrassed to say how good the food and the accommodation was. But I've heard of other people that go on mission trips, and it's really basic, it's really hard. So that's the setting. Bill and Carolyn were in the big house on the right, and Chris and I stayed, let's see, the middle tank just near there. There was another house down there, and it was about 3 bedrooms, I think, down there, and 4 or 5 up the top, was it, guys? Something like that, so 3. So very basic accommodation, only 7 lounge chairs. I thought we'd be eating closed, around a campfire or something like that, but that was the table, cooking over open fire, but that was the kitchen, or sleeping on the floor, but that was my bedroom in Djavane. So what we're going to do, Churches of Christ are involved in probably 3 key things that we'll talk about. Dealing with orphans because of the AIDS and poverty crisis and the war. The water bores that we raised money for, we took over about $14,000 US. And the churches, so the 3 things. So Bill and Karen and I will take turns with that. But there's some funny things that, just a bit of humour. I like to see the humour in a lot of things. So there's humour in some things that we saw. So hit the airport. That's how to lock up your Datsun 120Y if you've got one in the boot with the padlock. And then driving straight out of the airport, police ahead and welcome. So the police everywhere, in and out of every town that we went, just checking the taxis mainly. They didn't ever stop us. And if you can get a good enough road to go 120, go for it. So Churches of Christ are involved in dealing with orphans because of so many in that area because of poverty. And Carolyn's going to talk about 2 of them, so 2 different sort of ways of dealing with kids without parents, Kailashi Children's Village and Tego. Okay. Yep, put it right up to your chin.
Okay. Kailashi Village. No,
It's on now.
Okay, Kalishi Village is just outside of Bulawayo, and they house children in houses like this. There's about six houses on the property, and they have had up to about 100 children there. Each house has a mother that looks after a group of up to 25 children at times. We met with some of the orphans that are sponsored here. I don't remember how many. It was school holidays, so it was really good. We managed to catch up with most of them. They have a farm where they grow cabbages, and they feed the children as well as sell to the local community. And the dairy, they sell their milk as well. That's Bill opening the gate. Anthony worked on last time he was there. And this is the hospital in Shishavane where we went to visit some abandoned children who will end up in KCV in the next few weeks. Two little boys left in December, and they've just sat around the hospital for the last 8 months. This little man was left just the weekend prior to us getting there. He's about 2 to 3 year old, and there was another 1 month old baby who was left that same weekend. BJ started the process now of getting them into KCV, into the orphanage.
In order to name them the way that they, you know, they'll give them a name eventually, but in order to name them, to maybe the parents will come back 20 years later and say, look, I left my child somewhere. They name them after where they found them. So there was this, there was this electronic cash transfer place called Eco Cash, and it was like a booth, like an ATM outside. And so they were going to call one kid Eco Cash. And one kid was left outside a Lutheran church, and he was just going to be called Lutheran. So it's just really sad when sort of that's associated with the name. But what they wanted to do was to try to get a bit more of a memorable name. But on the birth certificate, there was something that would help towards identifying them about where they were left. But these four that we visited were hopefully about to start the process of being adopted.
Okay, out in Shishavane, they don't have a house orphanage. The children that are sponsored out there are sponsored by the Trust in God Orphans, and they are housed with extended family. These pictures are of some of the orphans we met with their grandmothers, and some of them had walked quite a distance, an hour and a half, 2 hours, in order to meet with us that day. That previous photo showed a caregiver with a group of orphans. That each different circuit church has a caregiver who is voluntarily visits those children in their homes, and that involves quite a lot of travelling. This little guy was so cute.
The previous one.
Yeah, he was such a darling. And the children were beautiful. They are well cared for, and it was just a pleasure to catch up with them that day.
Even though they walked an hour and a half, some of them then asked if they could... we could give them $1 or $5 for a taxi, so at least they wouldn't have to go an hour and a half back the other way.
And one of the problems with going back the other way was that we gave them quite a large food parcel. So you can see Tinatendo there has that parcel on her head. And one of the grandmothers, actually, we weren't able to get a taxi for her. She was too far out, so she had to walk the hour and a half home with that on her head. And it was middle of the day.
Sipo, she said, we'll rest when we need to, and then we'll pick it up again.
Yeah. So Sipo we actually saw in her home, which was an interesting time. We've been there once before, and she was there with her grandparents and siblings that are also looked after by the grandparents. This little girl was in the town of Shishavane and was looked after that day by her cousin, because the aunt had to go out, and he was also, in the next slide, he He was the caregiver that day at the house.
So he was the 14-year-old in charge of this little girl.
Yeah. This little girl was, well, she's not a little girl. She's a 16-year-old teenager called Privilege. She's sponsored by the KYB ladies here at church, and it was exciting to see her because we didn't think we were going to be able to see her. She was not in the TIGO day that we spent. She was at the conference. And the lady in the red uniform there is Nomsa, who is in charge of the TIGO program, and she does all the coordination for the program. Privilege talked to us about one day maybe being a lawyer. So they all have aspirations that they would want one day want to achieve.
And the red and white you see a lot is the standard. Each denomination, each church has its own uniform with the different colours. So red and white is the Church of Christ one. It's not Ipswich Grammar, just in case you wondered.
Yeah.
We got to visit one girl in her home as well.
Yes, Tinatendo we actually took home from church that day when we saw her. And this is one of the little huts on their property. That's another one, and that's her outside the house. And then the cooking hut.
You can see in the background first just how bare it is. Like there's no... Some there's trees around and they can use that for firewood, but that was very bare.
One of the things that you really find hard in that particular household is the distances they would have to walk just to get firewood for their cooking fires. There are two photos there of inside the cooking hut. And sometimes... when the weather's good, they'll cook outside rather than cook inside to prevent the smoke and all that sort of thing.
Well, it's all blackened in there, really.
Yeah, it's all black. And one of the huts we went into, all the thatch was starting to actually fall down because of the steam and damage done to the thatch.
Bill and Carolyn did an amazing job in just seeing the kids. Because they'd been in the past, they knew them, and just that relationship you could see with them. They did a fantastic job in connecting. So some more funny things along the way. This was a sign in one of the churches. It's not Jesus calling, switch off your phones. But they didn't take any attention to it, because while I was preaching one day, people had two phone calls. And one day, one of the translators got a phone call in the middle of translating for someone, so... it's amazing. Like the technology is really amazing that everyone's got WhatsApp and they've got their phones, but the infrastructure with water and electricity is pretty basic. This is where Jackie worked. Please hoot. We went to a clinic that was just a basic clinic with some nurses in charge, and if you got really crook, this is where you went. You can read that was the coughing area, which I took a picture really quickly and then took off just in case there were some germs going around. So I thought that was interesting. And this was in a school, so a comprehension exercise for English for the students there. And you know you're in Africa when it says, we had shot a lion and wounded it and its tail was up. So I just thought that was funny that you wouldn't probably see that in an Australian school about shooting a lion. I might use another microphone, I think, Stuart. So Bill's going to talk about waterboard.
Okay, first of all, I'd just like to say how blown away Carolyn and I were with the support we received from Whitehill, the whole team this year. The generosity of you guys was just amazing with fundraising and stuff like that. We just want to really thank you for that. And we were able to take, as Daryl said, money for two boards this time. And... one privilege we had was to go to a site where the people just expressed their generosity to us. It's good to go to a place where you see the results of what's actually happened. When a bore goes down into a community, those people take responsibility for the bore. They would have to make a road for the truck to get in. They would have to set up a concrete slab for the bore itself. So this site we're at, these people were just dancing and singing and saying, Listen, you guys, we just want you to know how much we really do appreciate all you've done for us. And these are some of the sights from that. Boy, you can see down the next one there, thanks, Sheree, is just how barren the area is. These boys go in really remote sites, trust me. These particular people had continued on from the boar and had actually made a trough for the animals to feed. So Boniface, the guy that is responsible for the program, was really impressed that these people had gone a step further. And if you can just move on from there. These are the people just showing us their appreciation, and each of them have had a testimony to give about how it had impacted them personally. People saying, you know, they used to have to get little boys to go miles and miles in a scotch cart and bring back their drums of water. Now they could save that money and that time and use other resources. So just the next one, thanks, Sheree. These two guys are the hub of that. Boniface is this guy with great compassion and wisdom, and he's training up this young guy to be his successor, I guess.
So that's BJ's brother. So yes, BJ that we met, that's sort of the boss, that's his brother.
So he will go into an area and suss it out where they know there is actual water. He will get the community to, as I said, build a road, do the infrastructure, and then that community sets up a committee to look after the boar once it's established, and it goes on from there where they have to work out what they're going to do with the water. It's not just about drinking. It's about making bricks. It's about having a community garden. It's about being able to water your stock. There's a whole plethora of things that you can do once you get a boar in your community.
And what to do when they get the time back, you know, that, yeah, like Bill said, having to either pay someone, so you're short of money in paying someone to go and do that,
yeah,
or you're short of time because you're spending 3 hours a day just getting water.
So this is a new innovation that they've got over there. Boniface is always thinking outside the square. This particular site we went to, they've established a solar plant on an existing bore that they've converted into a pump, which they then pump up into tanks. Next one, thanks. And they gravity feed it around the whole village.
So it goes about a kilometre and a half up, yeah, up this hill.
And it is money saving too, because rather than establish five bores around certain villages, they can pump it up high and just gravity feed down to a whole area. So they're thinking of ways that they can improve the system, but the best thing you can do is just give them water and then they'll run with it. They'll do all sorts of amazing things.
And because the community itself takes ownership of what happens there, they need to take ownership when something goes wrong. So when we were there at that one down the bottom, there was a couple of taps, but one of the taps had broken. And so they said they would have had to have a community meeting, because it's this group ownership of what's there. And if it was breaking down, why didn't someone fix it? Why didn't someone let them know? So it's that group ownership of what was happening. It was really impressive. BJ's brother Boniface has a master's degree in community development, so he really knows his stuff. He really emphasised the importance of not getting into a welfare mentality where you're just giving people money to do things and they don't have ownership of it and buy in. And so they really have a good process of going. So I guess that's one of the things that we wanted to report back, is that please be assured when the money is raised, and like Bill said, so much has been raised by Whitehill over the years, it's been well spent. We know where it goes. We've seen that. We've seen the procedure that happens. It's well taken care of. So we can really assure people that the money raised 100% goes towards that, and it was valuable to actually carry cash. I was a bit worried to start with that we were carrying 14,000 US with us. But then we would go down to towns and there's all these crowds outside the bank, and I said, what's that for? They're getting money out. They can only get $20 a day. My Visa card never worked over there. The ATMs were empty. And so cash is king. If you've got cash to spend on something, that's really valuable. So to be able to take over 12,000 or so US was really valuable. So it's well spent. It's well used. It makes a difference in the community. We were travelling around with Boniface, and he said, "I see that new house there, and it looked like a, you know, Besser Block toilet shed, virtually." But he said, "This new couple has found out there's water in this community now. There wasn't water where they are, so they've moved here and they've built a house." And so it improves the community. So it was great stories like that. Some more quirky things. So when your car's broken down in the middle of the road and you need a witch's hat, and you haven't got a witch's hat, Coke bottle and a Sprite bottle. These are on cars everywhere, which I thought was quirky. I guess there's some people who are instructed not to stop at rail crossings, so you don't want to follow them. And these were everywhere. They were just people in the back of a truck, people in the back of a car, cargo vans loaded up, something chronic. And see what's different about that photo. Anyone can see it? They're holding hands. So fortunately, Bill warned me that just be careful, you're walking down the street and someone will just, a bloke, will grab your hand and away they go. Bill doesn't want to hold my hand today. But
you rarely see a man holding a woman's hand over there.
Women held hands and men held hands. And of course, traffic lights are called robots. So I ran out of, I was loading up on the Facebook site all the photos. I was running out of phone credit. I had to go phone credit downtown, and it was a different company. And the lady said, "I'll just go down to the first robot and turn right." That's some instructions I never thought I'd hear. Go down to the first robot and turn right. So the next one is, because Bill and Carolyn have been there a number of times, I thought I'd show a few things of it, even if you're not aware of it, even if this is brand new, just how things have changed. This is Bill and Carolyn's sponsor child when he recognised who they were. And I just captured the moment of them with him. You want to talk about Repemba School?
Okay, as you remember last time, we saw Repemba, where the school was just made of sticks, and this time when we went back, those stick schools are just falling apart. Two of them are gone completely. This is the new school in that district. So since we've been there, they do the bricks themselves, they have the schools built, and then, it's grown vastly since we were there. This is the pastor's house that was paid for by people here from Whitehill. There's three rooms in that little house. It's only about 8 feet wide.
If you can see down the back, there's a little, that's the Repemba school that we saw.
Just in
so
the
it's
distance.
Within in the distance there. So.
And they've left it, as you see the side of the house, they've left the bricks out ready for extension when they get the money to do that with. These three people live in that house. That's Govo and his wife and the children's pastor. So they live in that house, and it's 2.5 hours walk from there to the Tard Road. So if they wanted to go to town, they have to walk 2.5 hours to get to the road and then get a taxi or a bus or whatever happens to come past on the way to town.
Govo was a cool dresser. Go back to Govo because this is really, they called these the Out of Africa type shirts that we've got, but I hardly saw. There was a couple of people that wore them.
There was a few people at the conference.
But mostly they loved that sort of bling. So they had really nice shirts. He had the white dinner suit on with the black bow tie. So he loved to dress up. But go back to the house. This is where they lived. So they live in there.
They cook outside.
Cook outside, but he dresses like that. It's just these contrasts that I thought, wow, what the hell? You know, the solar panel there. I said I wanted to go inside some of the rooms and see what they did to get the whites as white as it was, because I don't think you could hand wash the suit like that. But then they come out dressing like this, and she was stunning, the wife. And then the children's pastor lives with them.
They've started a community garden at Repemba. They've built a tank. They're going to pump from the river to the tank, and the proceeds of the sale of the vegetables in the community garden will help build their church.
previously there was different people that cooked, and Bill and Carolyn met up with this lady, and that was one of the photos I sent as well, and that was her recognition again. She was tiny, but she was...
She's a beautiful lady, and we were really surprised to see her as well as she is. 12 years ago, she looked like she was a very old lady, but she's still out there. Chris said she was in her garden when we got there today, doing her gardening.
She wouldn't tell you her age.
No, I'd be surprised if she knows how old she is.
Wow. There's also... Like you saw some of the desolation there, it's really rugged country, but there's some beauty there as well. So you had the colour in the trees, and we went to this place and they said, oh, you just missed the hippos. There were hippos there. So this is as close as we've probably got to any wildlife. There was this little sparrow looking thing there, and this was the nest that they made in the trees with the hay. Coming into spring, there would be colour in the trees, and sun rises were beautiful. I was able to run most mornings. Everyone went for a walk. Carolyn slept in sometimes.
I did two walks.
Two walks. It was about 5 days in a row. We kept saying how good the sunrise was like that. The morning she got up was cloud everywhere. Couldn't see a thing. So that was waste. But that really does justice to how red the sun was. And I don't know what it was, but it was just magnificent to get up that early and see a sunrise. That was great. The churches are amazing too. This is McGlass Church of Christ, and we sort of dropped in on a meeting of the committee that was organising the big conference that I preached at. So this is all the pastors from the various areas. So inside it's quite neat. If you go back to that one, it's covered in ceiling and stuff like that, and some wooden benches there to sit on. Some weren't quite that nice. You see the next one has the concrete up, but nothing there, and the ceiling wasn't sealed like that. Some were fairly basic in terms of the architecture inside. Some really needed repair like that one, and they looked at how they could possibly repair that building. And some didn't have a building at all. So we went to a midweek meeting, and that was the pastor that we saw before, Govo. And he had, I think he had a red suit on that day, didn't he? Bright red.
Black suit with a red tie.
And there was a baptism that day. There was two baptisms. So we walked from there quite a distance down to the river and then down to all these rocks. And they gathered. I can just imagine New Testament baptism. Bill and Carolyn didn't go down, but I had someone hold my hand and go down, so that was good. But yeah, Govo baptised the lady, so he had the red shirt on, baptised her, and then there was another guy who was sort of almost ready to be finished, and there was another guy come out, he wanted to be baptised, so he was baptised down in the river. The conference was at Sabosa Church of Christ, which is in Jajavane, so they had a... similar to the other buildings, fairly small, so they set up a big tent outside and they just met in that. The church building turned into just a dormitory, so they just slept because they had to walk 2-3 hours, some of them, from all the districts. So there's only, there are only 40, 50, 60 people in the churches, but when all of them get together, this is the crowd in the one tent, and there was an overflow tent further, so I think there was about 900 there. And I preached at that. We had a good bit of fun. As I tuned into what the people were about and got the language, we talked about, I saw this bright berry called, I said, what's that? Oh, that's a nundugwa. It was yellow. It was like a yellow cherry tomato. And I said, oh, is that good to eat? And they said, no, it's poisonous. And I preached on Colossians, and Colossians talks about bearing good fruit, and some fruit looks good on the outside, but it's just rotten inside, and what Jesus said. So I said, you need to have good fruit, not like nundugwa. And that was the poisonous berry. Anyway, they laughed and laughed. They thought it was good that I could use their language talking about nundugwa. So the next day they would introduce in their language and then someone would translate. And I could hear it even in their language. They said, Pastor Nundugwa is with us again today. So they were calling me Pastor Bad Fruit. So I got up I got up and said, "Oh, I'm very disappointed at your welcome. I thought I'd be welcomed in, and you call me Pastor Nundugwa, Pastor Bad Fruit. I wanted to be a good fruit, like banana or something." So all through the break, people were either calling me Pastor Nundugwa or Pastor Banana. So that was really cool. And that, just really sharp people, really loved their heart, really loved how they're serving the Lord under very difficult circumstances. Just, as I said, seeing what money that goes to supporting the orphans that some of you are doing, just to reassure you that where that money goes is being well spent. Any support that we can give in the future with the pastors and with motorbikes or something like that to get around, you know, I'll be a big advocate for that because I can see the heart of the people and what they're doing. It was a real privilege. Chris really knows his stuff. They're not relying, as I said, on the welfare mentality, just giving people stuff, even churches that are supported. You know, you've got a few years and then you've got to be self-sufficient. We need to get another church planted and up and going. So,
Can I just say, Pastor Govo, the reason he has to walk the 2.5 hours or wherever he goes is because his motorbike was stolen and wrecked. So they're looking at trying to get another bike for him.
Trying to deal with it through insurance at the moment and hopefully get that back. And the other guy in the blue, he's a really cool dude.
Madzuri.
He's got the glasses on. He's always chewing on something. But, yeah, it was really good. Now, Gavin has actually got a report sent through from Chris, who, as I said, heads up KiwiLink. Do you guys want to say anything else, Bill or Carolyn, in wrapping up?
I just want to say, for me, one of the highlights was going back to Rupemba and seeing the change that had taken place there. Like, Boniface teared up when we went to that place and said, "This place is just forsaken and something really needs to be done here." We were able to give $1,000 of Whitehill money there for textbooks because the kids had no textbooks. And out of that, a church has grown and it's multiplying. So it was just great to go back there and see how a little bit of seed that was sown has borne fruit and great things are happening. Thanks, Ken.
There was excess money or two that... from the boars that were given, it wasn't an exact amount, so we just used our discretion to give different amounts out, and we supported some of the children's work. I think they're recognising the importance of seeing that younger generation come through. So like the lady we saw in the photo before, we gave her some, and Maxwell, who's a one-armed guy, I don't know how he gets around, but he's only got one arm, but he's in charge of the children's pastors, and they get together, and we gave him an amount of money just to help with the children's ministry in those various churches as well. Okay. Carolyn and then Gavin.
I'd just like to say I was pleased to hear when we were talking around the boar with the people in that community, we never have previously been able to hear Boniface's heart regarding what happens after the boar. So he was able to say that day to this community, "Okay, now you've got your water. In a few weeks' time, we're going to come back and we want to sit down and talk with you. We'll give you our ideas of what you can do now that you've got water in your district, but we want you to also give us your ideas of what you're going to do to profit in your community from having the water." And I felt good from the point of view that it's not just, "Here's your bore, do what you like." It's, "Okay, we want to see where we go from here." And I found that interesting this time.
Thanks, Gavin.
So I received this email from Chris Spagin a few days ago, just following through from the trip, and he writes, "Dear Gavin, I write to you in your capacity as Chairman of the Elders Board at Whitehill. I'm incredibly grateful for the faithful and generous support KiwiLink has received from Whitehill Church of Christ over many years. In particular, I know that the recent amount of $12,000 given for boreholes will make a huge difference in the lives of many people in the rural Zimbabwe. Bill and Carolyn Minnis in particular have been wonderful ambassadors for KiwiLink and Zimbabwe, and over the recent years we have had many really good people from Whitehill also joining in this work. It was really good having Pastor Darrell join us on our recent trip to Zimbabwe. His inclusion has been something I have strived for many years, and as I think as I think it is really beneficial to get the senior pastor of a supporting church over to see the work that their church has been supporting. On a personal level, to work alongside Daryl was really enjoyable. He took with him some of his teaching on the Book of Colossians, and I think this was both appropriate and timely for the people in Zimbabwe. Also, as you could imagine, Daryl really related well to the Zimbabwe people, and I felt built a strong rapport with those people. So I want to say thanks very much for releasing Daryl to join us on this recent visit. In the future, I would welcome any member of White Hill on future teams, and if Daryl was able to join us again, that would be really beneficial also. Every blessing to you and the people at White Hill. Chris Bagent. So we do appreciate the work that you guys have done, and Bill and Carol being so many times, and the recent trip that Daryl preaching and so forth, and it's obviously been something that's been very meaningful to the community over there. So, Chris obviously is urging us to continue our work and our efforts.
Thanks, Gavin. Chris must have forgotten us ragging him about being a Kiwi, so that's really nice. Probably New Zealand beating Australia. I might have done that. Well, why don't we pray for the people there, and I'll wrap up just in a few minutes. Father, I just thank you on behalf of the church for what Bill and Carolyn and I were able to do over there in Zimbabwe. Thank you for the people who have life a lot more difficult in terms of medical and infrastructure, water, electricity. We lost power twice over there. And it's just something that people take for granted. So Lord, thank you for the work that you're doing, that you're a worldwide God and that you're doing some great things in the name of Jesus in those communities. Thank you for the people there that we met, the BJs and Chippos and Boniface and people like that who are doing such great work. Thank you for the wisdom that they go about it. And we just pray for those people. Thank you for the growth we see in the churches that from only a few pastors years ago, there's many and many churches, and when they all get together, there can be 900, and that's not everyone. So thank you for that work that's happening there, for the care that's being offered to orphans, the genuine community uplift that's happening because of the water bores, Lord, all those things that are done in your name. And thank you for the part that the church here has played in that. Thank you for the sacrifice of the people. There's a big competition for charity dollars, but Lord, we see when it's going to good use, it's quite heartening to know that it is a real benefit. So thank you for the partnership that we can be involved in, even though we're quite distant. We feel our hearts connected to those people. We pray for them today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give Bill and Carolyn a big hand too. They're doing a great job. One of the things Zimbabwe has suffered with in the past has been hyperinflation. And hyperinflation, literally, at its worst, thousands of millions of percent inflation. They forgot long ago doing tens and hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. I picked up a whole heap of $10 billion notes. I can show you later, I've got heaps. They eventually went to a $100 trillion note. Look at all the zeros on that. Yet because of hyperinflation, the currency was hyperinflated compared to what it was actually worth. And at its height, $100 trillion with all those zeros was worth 40 US cents. So when they scrapped the currency, I think they call it demonetarizing it or something like that, but they basically scrapped it and said we'll use US dollars, and they use Zimbabwe bond notes now. And so it's a lot more stable. The country is a whole lot better than it was. Bill and Carol even got caught in a traffic jam in Bulawayo going to the airport on the way, and we didn't think they'd make it. I went in a different car. And so, you know, the business is getting back But I just want to talk about that idea that something is worth so much, that $100 trillion, yet in real terms it's just worth virtually nothing. In the Zimbabwe economy, that hyperinflation was a really bad thing. In God's economy, a similar sort of thing happens compared to our economy. In our economies, we often value physical things as being worth so much. My physical prowess, my physical attributes, the home that I have, my physical abilities. But in God's economy, it's honestly worth very little. As we finish off Ephesians, and I won't be real long, but as Paul finishes off Ephesians, he's talking about, and I hope it's not drawing too long a bow, to talk about this idea of having something that is worth a whole lot more than it should be. And I think it's those things that we value. If we go to that scripture as Paul talks, I'll write it up there, Cherie. So he says a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you're able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. See, we put the value in that. We put the currency in that. We put the worth in that and say that's where it's at. That's, you know, trillions of dollars and our ability to do that, that's where it's at. And Paul said that's not even the battle. Our battle is against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, the mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You know, where you should be putting your currency, where you should be putting the value, is in the spiritual stuff. Put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith so you can stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. We sometimes put too much currency, we think there's too much value in the physical things. And so I've got 100 trillion worth of this physical attribute. In God's economy, it's worth 40 cents. Even those billion-dollar notes that I've got are 1/1000th of 40 cents. They literally are worth nothing. You can sell them on eBay and make a bit more money. But we put too much in the physical things. And Paul is saying that it's in the spiritual. It's how you protect your head with the helmet, thinking the positive thoughts, knowing that you're saved, the assurance that you get with that, protecting you with the body armor, the breastplate of righteousness, knowing you're in a right relationship with God. That's where it's at. Offensive and defensive weapons, attacking and defending against some of the thoughts that pop into your head or pop from elsewhere. That's where the value is. So we need to switch currencies. Switch what we think is important. Switch what we think is worthwhile. Switch what we think is going to be value and we'll keep in our pockets and put in our wallets and say, that's worth something. Because in God's economy, it's not. But it's your ability to know assurance, to have your heart in the right place. All of those things, that's where the value is. And just as we wrap up, as that last verse says, pray for believers everywhere. So I want to pray for you and then invite Rach and the team back up for our last song. Father, again, thanks for the experiences of our team, just what we went through in Zimbabwe. And we just do pray for those believers there. Pray that as probably it's a struggle that we have worse. And they know the value of the little things. They know the value of a water bore in their community and how grateful they are because of that. So, Lord, we pray for them, but we pray for us not to value the wrong things, not to put this great wealth, this great value, this great amount into just physical things, but why we think, where our heads are at, where our hearts are at, the ability to resist the devil, that would be things that we value that are important, that are worth something, and that we even put our money towards. So, Lord, thank you for the things we've shared this morning. We want to give you our hearts in worship as we continue today, in Jesus' name.
Will you stand with us and sing our last song this morning?